Well, we're certainly glad you're here. We're into the third day of 2012. Wow, it's Tuesday, it's January 3rd, 2012. And I mentioned the 2012 for those of you that have stopped by our website, greatnewsradio.org. You'll see a link called Archived Programs, and each and every one of Mark and Friends programs and the ones that I did for many years with Carrie, Mark and Carrie in the Morning, are archived. And you'll see a unique way we've done it. We have a button that's like 2012. So all the 2012 are under that archive button, 2011, 2010. And if you want some of the old archive programs from like 2004 to 2009, they're all under the 2009 button. So if you hear something that you're intrigued about today or something that has been shared in the past weeks, you can always go to our archive program link at greatnewsradio.org and you can click on that program and listen to it. And there's an easy way. If you right-click on it, you can literally copy the location, paste it into an email, and then any friend around the country or the world can listen to that program, that testimony, that interview through an email. So it's kind of a unique way. And for those of you that haven't stopped by greatnewsradio.org, we finally got our streaming audio for both stations. Those of you new to this radio ministry, we have WGNN. That's our flagship station, started Easter Sunday, April 7th, 1996 on 102.5 FM. About a year, year and a half later, we added 103.9 FM, a translator frequency for the greater Champaign-Urbana area. And then just about 2 years now, we added 97.1 FM, which is a translator frequency in Clinton, Illinois. And what I mean by a translator frequency is that it rebroadcasts the flagship station 102.5. So all those three frequencies have the same programming at the same time on those three frequencies. But in 1998, we added WGNJ 89.3 FM. And then a few years later, we went from 6,000 watts to the current 50,000 watts. And that WGNJ Great News Radio has its own unique programming. So if you're unfamiliar with our programming, recognize that we have different formats on the two different stations. So there's WGNN and WGNJ. And so why I mention that is if you go to greatnewsradio.org, there's now streaming audio of both stations. So you can listen to us anywhere in the world, or if you're in your office and you can't get the frequency through the radio, you can listen to us on your computer. Those of you with iPhones and such, we have a low band link on our website, so you can listen to us on your iPhone or your various players, those iPads. And what are some of that technology, Marlon, that people can utilize to listen to radio? You know, there's all those gadgets.
Yeah, Androids. I think I'd probably have to bring my kids in here to kind of help us out with that, Mark. I'm probably where you're at. Yeah, hey, yeah. Come here. Can you show me how to use this?
Yeah,
that's
help
the
me,
program
kid.
On. Right, right.
So anyways, that's we're very excited. Phil Shepard with the Moody Broadcasting Network, who is a recent board member of this radio ministry, he was down this past weekend and working with me to get the streaming audio. So after a couple of years, we have all the bugs worked out of it. So if you go to greatnewsradio.org, click on the streaming audio button, you can listen to both of our stations on your computer and all those other fun ways of listening. So that was a great accomplishment this past weekend. Well, another great accomplishment was that I got Marlon Livingston, who is the director of the Cunningham Children's Home. His formal title is president and CEO. He was recruited to our area a few years ago, and through a candidating process and a number of other people that wanted that position, they elected to have Marlon lead the organization. If you were tuned in yesterday, you got to hear some of his life story and the unique ways God's been at work in his life. And I'll try to do a quick summary, Marlon, but I want to talk a little about just coming to Christ doesn't mean everything works out wonderfully. You've had some heartache and loss, and yet you've seen God prove faithful through it all. You grew up in the Charleston area, but you've lived in Illinois really most of your life. You went to the University of Illinois. You got your master's degree in
Social work.
Master's degree in social work. You've led and been involved in a number of organizations that have served people. You're kind of wired to just love kids, to want to see them flourish and grow. You met Denise over 20 years ago because you've been married for 20 years. You've been foster parents. You adopted your number one son, Kevin. He was now 18. He attends school in Mahomet. Then you have Samuel, who's 13. You also adopted, but he's your number two son. And I love middle children. I'm a middle child. So, Samuel, a shout out to you. And then you have Cameron, your miracle baby. He's 11 years old. So you must do another shout out for your sons and your lovely wife, Denise.
Denise, Cameron, Sam. Believe it or not, Kevin, hey, I'm on the radio. Love you guys and look forward to the spring semester.
Yes. Yeah.
Which starts, very soon.
With Kevin being involved in wrestling, are you driving him at like 5:30, 6 a.m. in the mornings to get him there to wrestle? Because that wrestling program in Muhammad, that's pretty structured and intense.
Very structured. You know, I feel a little cheated when the kids letter and they don't give the parents a letter, particularly if you're a wrestling parent. You know, it's a tough sport, physically, emotionally. 6 a.m., they do P90X or Insanity, in the morning, an hour, hour and a half before school. And then after school, they're on the mat for an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours every evening if they're not in a tournament. So very, very tough sport to be in. Kevin's very, despite a number of, intellectual disability and challenges, Kevin's there, participates, and competes in wrestling. So, it's a tough sport. It's a big commitment. But, Kevin's commitment and through those challenges, it's really hard for us to complain about having to get up that early. And let's face it, I'm being in my mid-40s now. It doesn't hurt me to get up and work out either.
You're only in your mid-40s? I would have thought you were in your 60s.
Thank you, Mark.
I should point out, Marlon's been a part of a small group Pinnacle gathering. We meet every other Thursday typically, and then once a month we have a larger group session. But I've gotten to know Marlon for the last couple of years, and I love your dry sense of humor. You add so much to our group, and it's like when you're not there, it's like, oh, who's going to fill in that void where Marlon always has a great joke or a pithy statement, or we love holding you accountable for things, and you've just been a real blessing to my life and to our group with what you bring and share. Now, you've been married, like I said, to Denise for 20 years, and you've had a unique faith journey with her. But yesterday, we covered a number of things, and I want to give some more snapshots into what Cunningham Children's Home does. But before we do that, share a little about Galatians chapter 6, because I had asked you what are some of the unique favorite verses or passages or, Bible stories that you cling to or that you like. And you said, well, Mark, let me talk a little about Galatians chapter 6.
Right, I know you asked me to do that, and I'm not wired that way, where I had to have this one thing. I mean, I have so much work to do in my walk that every day, and this was something that was shared at I attend New Horizon. That's where we are churched at, and this was something that they brought up and kind of relates to the new year. And Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us now grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. And I think with the New Year's, that resonates. I think, you reap what you sow. And basically, I think that's a great New Year's message. I mean, when you break that down, I mean, it's basically, whatever you're going to put into your walk with Christ this year, that's what you're going to get back, and probably more. And so that message really resonated with me. And like I say, week to week, I really like small groups, and I get obviously very enriched from my relationship with you and the other guys in the group. Church is more of a broader tune-up for me to have me reflect. And so that's why I don't have any kind of special favorite this or favorite that where I can decide it. Again, when that stuff comes in, I break it down and say, okay, this is what I need to learn from that this year. This year, New Year's, I need to be careful about what I'm sowing, and if I'm sowing good stuff, I'm gonna reap good stuff. So
yeah, I'm thinking of two things. I think Dr. Webb has said this a number of times, and also Jason, who joins me on the morning program every Wednesday. But when asked, both those guys, I think when asked, what's your favorite scripture, they generally share it's whatever they're reading at the moment, because
right.
God seems to speak in and through that very verse. With Dr. Webb, it's like, what's your favorite book of the Bible? And he says it's the book I'm currently reading because I think his passion and vision and desire is to teach every single book of the Bible before he dies. I think he's been leading Sunday school classes for 20 or 30 years. He's methodically going through all the books of the Bible. I think it was like Romans might have been 2 or 3 years, and the book of, you know, 1 John might have been a year, but he hopes that the Lord will extend his life so he can go through all 66 books. And I think Jason has said that too. He said, well, Mark, it depends what day it is, what my favorite verse is, and sometimes that verse may even change throughout the day. But there's also a portion of that Galatians 6 chapter where it says that you do not grow weary. Read that again. Read it slowly, because I think oftentimes, maybe even into this new year, we're already into day 3, and people might already feel weary or taxed, or they've already given up on that New Year's resolution or whatever it is, because they are weary or heavily laden, or they just feel like they got the short end of things.
Right, so let me close it out here. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. I mean,
that's
good stuff.
Yeah, that's
right
good
at the
stuff.
New Year's.
That's good stuff. Well, you didn't give up on God, even though you had some tragedies in your life. You lost a brother in a tragic motorcycle accident. This was during a time where you were growing in your faith. You were drawn closer to God, but then this tragedy happened. So somebody that's listening today might be going through various tragedies in their lives, and they may be questioning, how could a loving God allow this to happen? Or, I don't believe there can be a good God, because a good God wouldn't allow this to happen. Maybe they've lost a child. Maybe they've gone through a divorce or a circumstance that they said a loving God wouldn't tolerate this, wouldn't allow this to happen. I'm a Holocaust survivor. There can't be a good God to allow those kind of things to happen. I lost my wife to cancer. On and on. I'm sure most all of our listeners can identify with some tragic situation in their life where they, in a sense, could legitimately question, how could a good God allow this to happen? Tell us a little about your brother and that situation in your life.
Younger brother, I accepted Christ in my early 30s, and about 3 years after I accepted Christ and was baptized, and things were going along well. My younger brother, he's about 3.5 years younger, was racing motorcycles legally on a drag strip, and went into a high-speed wobble and died.
Hmm.
He had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And, you know, just a young family by every measure. I respect, he's my younger brother, but I just had enormous respect for him. He, by all accounts and measures, probably was a better person than me.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I think when you face that type of tragedy in your life, you got some choices. You can run to God,
mm-hmm.
or you can run away from God. I took my running shoes and I ran about as fast and as hard as you can away from God. Mm-hmm. I really, almost in every facet of my life, I went into self-destruction mode with my relationship with my wife, with God, just did all kinds of self-destructive things.
Yeah, kind of acted out. This is about 15 or so years ago?
Yeah, 10, 12, 13
okay.
years ago. Yeah. You know, it got really, really bad. I had a guy, a friend of mine, come down from Chicago, and there was kind of this intervention. My church got involved, and I hurt a lot of people. Fortunately, my pastor at the time and my family and some other folks didn't give up on me, because they really had every reason to. You know, through all that tragedy, I'm closer to God now than I ever would have been, you know, without that. And again, I never really wished that, you know, I would have never wanted that to happen. But I think, you know, maybe there's, you do have listeners now that are having to get up today and they're weary, or they're having to make choices. Am I going to run to God or away from God? And I guess all I can say from experience, that run away from God, you're going to hurt a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly yourself, and the road back is a real tough one. And I was blessed and fortunate that I had enough Christians around me, you know, literally to pick me up. And so I had to do a lot of work and ask for a lot of forgiveness, because then, you know, remember I shared yesterday, I had always struggled with being a perfect Christian, and here I was so far away. And so that made that you know, that much more difficult to get back to where I was at, so where I needed to be.
What was some of the key, whether it was, I don't know if you'd say benchmarks or levels of understanding? Obviously, you had the family trying to embrace, reach out, love on you. You had people praying for you. You had your church and the pastor and others involved in your life. But what was maybe key to you saying, wow, God, you really do care, or you really are allowing me to come back to you, or you're showing me such grace and mercy that you are forgiving, God? Was there one thing or a number of things? What kind of allowed you to know that things are okay? Yes, I've screwed up. All of us have screwed up. None of us deserve God's mercy. None of us can ever earn our way in. So whether we've sinned many times or one time, we're separate from God. The chasm is so great, none of us can get there. But what helped you get there?
A couple things. Number one, the Christians around me would not give up on me. And that frustrated me at times, angered me. I'm like, you know, leave me alone. You can't help me. And they just wouldn't accept that. And so that was, despite, you know, to some degree, being mean to folks, they would not give up on me. And so that in and of itself was such a testimony for me that I couldn't help but to conclude that God had put those people in my life to help me back. And then the other part of it was, talking about being weary, you know, I was on the self-destruct thing, thinking that, you know, somehow I'd feel better or these kind of, and it got to where, you know, nothing was helping.
Yeah.
And you know, I kept feeling worse and worse and worse.
And what's that saying where God's created that vacuum in us and we try to fill it with whether it's drugs or relationship or whatever else, and it never gets satisfied.
Never.
Until it's really Him filling that void, we're going to be empty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and through a number of folks not giving up on me and their testimony, you know, I they really didn't give me a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're blessed to have people around you that can help you carry that weight and get you back on track. So.
Well, God never wastes our experiences, our life stories, the various things that He's allowed us to navigate through or walk through or be dragged through. And even the unique work you're doing now with the Cunningham's Children's Home as their acting president and CEO, you call yourself their director, but you can identify and connect with some of these kids that have been in abusive situations, have made poor choices, that have had anger issues, whatever. There's things that God has allowed you to walk through so you can identify and empathize and care for. You have a real heart for children, and it seems like the Cunningham's Children's Home that's been in existence for 116 years, serving so many children through special programs, through schooling, through housing, through daytime activities and programs. There's 250-plus employees there. And yesterday, if you missed some of the things that the Cunningham Children's Home does, I invite you to go to our archive programs link, greatnewsradio.org, and click on 2012, and you'll see Marlon Livingston's name, and then it's entitled Marlon Livingston, Cunningham's Children's Home, Part 1, and then today's program, Part 2. But you can learn a little more. But give us a phone number and a website for those that maybe have connected with your story and want to know a little more about maybe serving or volunteering or being involved or financially backing the ministry work that you do through the Cunningham's Children's Home.
You can call us, 217-367-3728. Or we're on the World Wide Web at www.cunninghamhome.org. And you can connect with us either way, and whether you want to volunteer or support us, pray for us. We have we can send you a prayer list that has daily prayers, and there's lots of ways to get connected. More show, that's a whole, probably another show, Mark. lots of ways for folks to get connected with us. So
that's cunninghamhome.org, cunninghamhome.org. Or you can call 217-367-3728. That's 217-367-3728. That's to find out more about the Cunningham Children's Home in Urbana, Illinois. 250-plus employees. They've been in existence since 1895. They're not ashamed of the gospel. They love to build into these children's lives godly character, introduce them to a God who loves and cares for them. They can proclaim the message of Jesus during this past Christmas season into this new year, helping these kids flourish and connect with God, and yet providing all sorts of services and assist with adoptions, foster care, independent living, a lot of different services provided through the Cunningham Children's Home. Marla and I appreciate, like I said earlier, your friendship, being a part of a Pinnacle Forum group. You have lots of hobbies and activities. You love the outdoors, camping, sports, motorcycles. I'm going to shortly after this program show you the tree forts so that
awesome.
Kevin and Samuel and Cameron can come out. Maybe Denise will just send the boys out the door and she'll have a,
right.
some home time alone. But I think you'll enjoy the woods out here. Beamer's been very pleased to have you here, and he's got all the sniffs off of you, and he's just laying there enjoying himself. And I just appreciate the work that you're doing and wholeheartedly support your ministry work at the Cunningham's Children's Home. And we'd pray that our listeners, how could, in our closing minute here, how can our listeners pray specifically for the work that you do there?
Well, I think the main thing is you know, the work's really challenging. So not only pray for our kids, but pray for our staff, that they that God send us the staff that are responding to a calling for what I believe is really mission work at the end of the day, and that we're blessed with the wisdom and the skills that our staff need to help our children heal. And I think, of anything, people can pray for us, and big believer in prayer, and believe that would really be helpful for us. So,
yeah. Well, thanks for being available.
I want to wish you a happy new year as well, Mark, and bless you and your ministry, and hope 2012 is the best ever. And we're really blessed to have you in the community and on the air.
Well, thank you, and I'll give you the $50 in just a minute here. Well,
that's
we're
$75.
Yeah, for 2 day effort, you get a little extra. Well, I'm so glad you've been able to tune in. Hopefully, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, you can go to greatnewsradio.org and listen on our archive programs link. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.